redemption. Amen. You may be seated. Ada yang perlu alat terjemahan ada di belakang. I will be speaking in English. Good morning, everyone. It's good to be with you all this morning. Happy Easter. I haven't seen you all since before Easter. So happy Easter. So in the church calendar, if you're familiar with the church calendar, which I know most of y'all might not be, but in the church calendar, today is the fifth Sunday of Easter. So Easter spans 50 days. It's a 50-day celebration of the resurrection of Jesus. Isn't that a great party? A 50-day party for Jesus. Right? And this time of 50 day, it's a time of feasting, a time of gathering together. Actually, at a church here in town, they celebrated Easter with champagne and cake. Is that what y'all did for Easter this past Easter? They actually wanted to really celebrate. It's a time of real celebration, a time of real partying. It's a time where we remember that Jesus has resurrected, and it's really something to celebrate for. It's not just something that we do year after year, but it's really a time where we remember to celebrate. No matter what we are going through in our lives, no matter what difficulty or what suffering we might be experiencing, it's a time of celebration. We choose to celebrate in this season because we have the hope of resurrection within us. This time of feasting is not a time when we think about ourselves. So many times when we are partying, we want to have a good time, right? It's a focus on myself. Sometimes we don't care about what other people are feeling or are experiencing because what really matters is if I'm having a good time. But that's not what a feast is. That's not what Easter feasting is about. Easter feasting is about everyone having a good time. Is everyone feasting? If you're the only one feasting, it's not a feast. If you're the only one eating and I'm not eating, it's not a feast, right? If I'm the only one having a good time and you're having a miserable time, that's not a party. So in this time of feasting, is everyone having a good time? Some people, you know, when they go partying, they might like to get drunk, and they think that's a party, right? They think that drinking in excess is feasting. But if that person is getting drunk, is drunk to the point of like vomiting all over himself or herself and vomiting on other people, throwing up on other people, then other people are miserable, right? That's not a feast. When friends have to take care of this miserably drunk person, that's not a party because someone is not having a good time. Easter is a time when we are made aware of who is celebrating here on earth. Are we the only ones enjoying this life? Or is everyone on this earth also celebrating with us? Well, we are enjoying ourselves, feasting and partying because of the resurrection life that is within us. Who around us is left out of the celebration? Think about that. Who's left out of celebrating right now? Easter is a time when we celebrate, when we feast and invite everyone into a joyous life. That's not my sermon. Let's open up to John chapter 15, verse 1 through 8. John chapter 15, verse 1 through 8. And I want you to remember that we are in the season of Easter, and in the church calendar, the church is reading this text today. This is our Easter text this morning. I am the true vine, and my Father is the vine grower. He removes every branch in me that bears no fruit. This is Jesus speaking. Every branch that bears fruits he prunes to make it bear more fruits. You have already been cleansed by the word that I have spoken to you. Abide in me as I abide in you. Just as the branch cannot bear fruit by itself unless it abides in the vine, neither can you unless you abide in me. I am the vine, you are the branches. Those who abide in me and I in them bear much fruit, because apart from me you can do nothing. Whoever does not abide in me is thrown away like a branch and withers. Such branches are gathered, thrown into the fire, and burned. If you abide in me, and my words abide in you, ask for whatever you wish, and it will be done for you. My Father is glorified by this, that you bear much fruit and become my disciples. Amen. Let's pray. God, speak to us this morning, this Easter morning, God, as we celebrate, continue to celebrate your resurrection, as we continue to celebrate and continue to choose to hope in your resurrection, in the resurrection that will one day come to us. Speak to us, God. God, examine our hearts. Forgive us, for we have sinned against you in our thoughts, in our words, and in our deeds. By the things that we have done, by the things that we have left undone. For we have not loved you with our whole hearts, God. And we have not loved our neighbors as ourselves. I know that is true for me, and so, God, I ask for your forgiveness. God, speak to us through this word. May we abide in you. May we continue to hope and to persevere and to cling on to you, our vine. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. The very start of this Gospel of John. John says that in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God. The Word was God. He was in the beginning with God. All things came into being through him, and without him, not one thing came into being. What has come into being in him was life, and the life was the light of all people. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness did not overcome it. That's the theme of John. In the beginning was the Word. The Word. The Word was Jesus. If you grew up in the church, you might already know this, that the Word is not this Bible. The Bible was not there in the very beginning. But the Word is Jesus. God spoke, Jesus spoke, and there was the beginning of time. We might completely skip over these verses because we think we know that in the beginning there was Jesus and there was God, but let's stay here for a little while. That in the beginning was the Word. For the Jewish people, the Word was significant. The Word was so important. The Word was something to seek after and to cherish because the Word of God was a gift. If you read the Old Testament, you hear this desperation for the Word of God. That's why prophets were held to such high regards, but then prophets were also hated because God would always speak a word that people hated, right? But the Word was important. For God to speak to the people was important. It was a gift. For Jewish people living during the time of Jesus, as well as the Jewish people today, the law, the Torah, is seen as a gift. Do you see the law as a gift? Today, we don't see laws as gifts, do we? Recently, Georgia passed a law prohibiting the use of cell phones while you're driving. How many of you still use your cell phones while driving? I am super guilty of that, right? Actually, since the law passed, I think that I use my cell phone more because I'm like, you know, I want to push the boundaries a little bit, live life on the wild side, right? I text, I call, I do whatever, ask Siri things while I'm in the car. Sometimes I'm guilty of watching YouTube while driving. I like to break the law. What can I say? Right? We don't see laws as gifts. We see laws as prohibitions, as things that we want to stay away from. We always want to push the boundaries. We always want to break the laws because laws were meant to be broken, maybe. At least that's how I feel in my heart. I know that these things are illegal, but I always try to find the loopholes. I always try to skirt around things because I think that the law is annoying. Why do we need that law? I drive safe. I haven't been in an accident, and I text and drive all the time, right? I understand that the law is there for a reason, but it's not something that I see as a gift. It's not something that I cherish. It's not something that I want. It's not something that I seek after. When I think about freedom, I don't think about the law. How many of you think about the law when you think about freedom? It's not what you think about, right? When you think about freedom, usually you think about autonomy, about doing what you want when you want. That's freedom, right? That's why I couldn't wait to go off to college, to leave my parents' house, because finally I did not have to live by my parents' rules. I get to enjoy freedom. I can do whatever I want when I want it because my parents won't see it. I usually think about autonomy, nothing controlling me. I'm in control of myself. That's freedom. That's freedom. I get to control myself. However, the Jewish tradition teaches us that God's law is something to be cherished because it is a way that God speaks to us. Do you realize that? That the law, everything that you read in Deuteronomy and Leviticus, those are God's gift to us. It's a way of God speaking to us. If God speaking to us is a gift for God's people, then the law is a gift for us. God spoke to Israel through the law. That was God's gift on Mount Sinai. Do you remember Moses going up to the mountain, meeting with God and speaking face to face with God, with Yahweh, the I Am? And what did God give Moses? The gift that God gave Moses was these tablets, right? The Ten Commandments, these laws, and they were God's gift to Israel so that they know how to relate to God and they know how to relate to themselves. So that they know how to relate to God and so that they know how to relate to each other. You see, the law was given to Israel right after their freedom, right after they were free from slavery. They had left Egypt because God had set them free, and now God has given them laws to make sure that Israel can live, to make sure that they can experience life, to make sure that they can experience freedom. The law was freedom because the law was God's instruction to show people, God's people, how to live, to show God's people how they can become a blessing to the nations, to show God's people how they can relate to God, stay in the boundaries that God has for them so that they can experience life. Because they can't just do whatever they want and still have a good relationship with God. We can't do whatever we want and continue to have a great relationship with God. No, God has these boundaries and these laws to let us know how we can relate to him. The Torah, therefore, is to every Jew a gift and a revelation of God. They were to see the goodness of God and the character of God through the word. Through Israel's keeping of the laws, all of the nations of the earth would be blessed. They would become the model for this world. through Israel's keeping of the laws, all the nations were to be blessed. They were supposed to model to this world what living life with God was like. Because living life with God would bear fruit. Living life with God would bear blessing. Attaching ourselves to the vine would produce fruit that other people will want to replicate. To show that there's a better way of living than the human way, right? A way of living with God is so much better than a life living by ourselves. But unfortunately, Israel never got it right. They always made mistakes. They never got it right. They didn't obey the laws. They broke them frequently. And breaking the laws has consequences, much like everything else in life. In Kings, in the book of Chronicles, we read how Israel always fails, how the kingdom of Judah always fails, and God gets angry, or there's consequences, and they often forgot about the laws. There was even a period of time when they neglected the laws for so long that when this young king named Josiah discovered this book of laws, he was like, "What is this?" Right? He didn't even know what it was and had to invite other people, other scholars to interpret what this book was. They had completely forgotten about the laws. And this is such a tragedy because God established rules to make sure that they can experience life. In the beginning, there was so much chaos in this world, is what it says in Genesis. In the beginning, there was this formless void. There was this chaos hovering over the deep. And God spoke, and the chaos did not go away, but the chaos was redeemed. The chaos was reorganized. It was reordered. There became light. Chaos didn't just disappear. It was just reorganized. And because chaos is still in this world, the threat of chaos is still real. We see it everywhere, don't we? In the wars around us, in the suffering around us, in the injustice around us, the poverty around us, we see that there is so much chaos in this world. Because chaos didn't just disappear, it was reorganized. And because it didn't just disappear, the threat of death is still here. With us. The threat of death continues to exist, so God had to create boundaries to ensure life, to ensure abundant life. And that's why the text is important. John 15 is important. When Jesus says, "I am the true vine, and my Father is the gardener. Remain in me, and I will remain in you. I am the vine, you are the branches. I am." Jesus says, "I am." Did you catch that? That Jesus says, "I am." And when God appeared to Moses at the burning bush, who did God say he was? What was God's name? Moses asked the bush, "What is your name?" And that bush responded, "I am who I am." That's the name of God. I am who I am. How we interpret that today as Yahweh. I am who I am. So when you hear this from the book of John, you're supposed to think back to the burning bush moment. You're supposed to think about Moses. And so Moses was the great deliverer of Israel. You're supposed to think of freedom. When you attach yourself to the vine, you're supposed to think about freedom. Supposed to think about that time when Moses came and saw that bush that was burning and God spoke to him, "I am who I am." And now Jesus is saying, "I am who I am. I am God. Attach yourself to me." We hear Jesus make this grand proclamation of his divinity, that he is truly God. And we hear echoes of freedom and deliverance. When we abide in God and the Word of God, we experience freedom at its best. When we abide, we are not just close to the Word of God, but we are also obedient to the Word of God. It's one thing to just read this text, but it's one thing to live it out, right? When we are obedient to the word, we experience real freedom, because apart from freedom, fruit cannot exist. Apart from freedom, fruit cannot exist. You cannot bear fruit in slavery. You cannot bear fruit in slavery. Fruit is choked up in slavery. When Israel was a slave to Egypt, they couldn't bear fruit. All they could do was groan and moan, right? And God heard that. They in slavery, they couldn't become this model for the nations in slavery. They were bound. Their rules and laws from their slavery in Egypt could not bear fruits, but it only bore destruction. They only experienced destruction in Egypt. But when we abide in God, when we attach ourselves to the true vine, we also have rules and laws, don't we? It's hard to attach ourselves to something when we don't want to attach ourselves to something, if that makes sense. It's hard to attach ourselves to the vine if we are distant from the vine. It's impossible. And if we attach ourselves to the vine, that means that we're forever stuck to it and we can't just do our own thing. We can't be independent of the vine. We have to stick with it, and that's a boundary. That's a boundary. Those rules and laws are boundaries, and those rules and laws don't bring destruction like Egypt did. However, those rules and laws bear fruit, and that fruit is freedom. The rules and laws of God, the word of God lived through the life of Jesus, ensures that all are free. The word of God lived through the life of Jesus ensures all are free. It's not stifling, it's not choking, it's a boundary line to make sure that we can all thrive, that we can all celebrate, that we can all live in abundance, that we can all experience life, because we don't know how to do that ourselves. We don't know how to look after the best of each other. When we want to enjoy something, we want to enjoy it for ourselves and we don't care about others, right? When we experience pleasure, we want to experience pleasure for ourselves and we don't care about other people sometimes. When we make money, we like to make money for ourselves and we don't care about how it impacts other people, maybe. But when we abide in the law of God, God makes sure that all are free, that our enjoyment does not infringe on other people's enjoyment. It does not steal from other people's abundant life, but we can all experience abundant life together. Many people often critique religion, especially Christianity, because there's so many no's, right? You can't do this, you can't do that. No to this, no to that. There's just so many laws, they say. But I remember as a kid that my parents had to put up a baby gate at the top of the stairs. Because my younger brother liked stairs. Babies are attracted to stairs for some reason, aren't they? They like to climb up things and they like to try to crawl down things, but oftentimes they would tumble because their head is too big and they don't have balance and they're clumsy. There was a boundary that he had to yield to when my parents set up that baby gate. I hated it because I was like, I can take care of my baby brother, right? Or I don't understand why there has to be this boundary. Like, he can go down the stairs himself, is what I think. You know, since I'm a kid, I don't know any better. But sure enough, if the baby gate was left open, my brother would really tumble down the stairs. And he would get really hurt. And sometimes that could be life-threatening, can't it? Whenever you take your kids outside to play, there are boundaries, aren't there? You don't let them play on the streets because there's cars on the streets, and they might get run over by cars because cars drive recklessly, especially if they're texting and driving like me, right? There is a boundary, a law that they have to adhere to because there is a danger. Chaos is still out there in this world. It's the same with us. Jesus came and became part of the solution to our freedom, not by abolishing the law, but by exemplifying to us what perfect obedience to God the Father looks like. Jesus lived in perfect obedience, and he says, come follow me. And that means that we do the same things that Jesus does. That we imitate what Jesus did on earth, because that's the way that we live out perfect freedom. That's the way of life. That's the way. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. Following and obeying the word is the way. That is where we find life. When we abide in Jesus, we're not only saying that we love Jesus, but we obey Jesus, and that is grace. That is grace. So many times we hear sermons separating the law from grace, don't we? It's as if law, if you follow the law, you're not living under grace. We hear things like, we're no longer under the law. We are living under grace, and that is partially true. It's partially true. And that we're not slaves to the law. We do not just follow the law for the sake of following the law. We're not meant to be legalistic like the Pharisees. No, we're not meant to serve the law, but the law was meant to serve us. The law was meant to serve us. Jesus said, we are not created for the Sabbath, but the Sabbath was created for us, right? The law was made for us and for our good. The purpose of the law was to serve humanity. The law was created for humans, not humans for the law. The law was made to ensure the best for God's people, for all people. To uphold the commandments is a grace that has been given to us by God to find abundant life. To keep close to the word is to bear much fruit. Abiding in Jesus is to submit to Jesus. It's to completely surrender ourselves so that Jesus can move in us and through us, and through that fruit can be born. You don't have to work hard to produce fruits if you're abiding in Jesus. It just happens because Jesus is moving in you and through you. Fruit bearing is not a test. We don't have to demonstrate a level of productivity to prove ourselves worthy, because apart from Jesus, it says we can do nothing. Apart from Jesus, we can do nothing. Apart from the word, we can do nothing. Apart from this gift that God has given us, we can do nothing. If we disconnect ourselves from Jesus, then we become slaves to something. We might not realize it, but when we are not fully obedient to Jesus and to the word of God, we submit our lives to something else, don't we? We might be slaves to fear. We might be slaves to money. We might be slaves to work. We might be slaves to our family. We might be slaves to our spouse. We might be slaves to our dreams. We might be slaves to whatever it may be in your life that you are tempted by. And that's not freedom, is it? When we live apart from God, we become slaves to something else. We chase after these things, and these things often destroy us and hurt us, and we don't find freedom there. In my life, I know the more that I choose to abide in Jesus, to hear and obey the commands of God, the more I experience a thriving life. A freer life. I feel freer when I'm close to Jesus. The more I'm attaching myself to the word, the freer I become. Maybe this is because the law was always about love. The law was always about love. If Jesus was the walking word, and John reminds us that Jesus is the word, the living example of perfect obedience to the law, that means that the law was always meant for the goodness of all. It was always meant for the goodness of all. The law was always meant for the goodness of all, obedience to Jesus and to God, to the rules and boundaries set by God for humanity, was meant so that all of humanity could flourish, so that we could all flourish and thrive with God and with each other. This is why the law is a gift. If we see freedom as autonomy, freedom as being uninhibited by anything, unattached to anything, that is not freedom. Freedom for one is not and can never be freedom for all. Freedom for just one person is not real freedom. Just like how I said in the beginning, celebrating just for one person, for yourself, is not a true celebration. Even if it's my birthday, if I'm the only one who's having a good time on my birthday, it's still not a party, right? Freedom for one is not and can never be freedom for all. That's why Pharaoh's freedom was so repulsive to God. Pharaoh had freedom as a powerful man, right? But his freedom enslaved people, and that can't be freedom for all. But God's freedom says that all should live, all should thrive, all are free from slavery. And that has very practical implications for our lives. Is your freedom causing other people to be free too? Are your choices, the decisions that you make through your freedom, causing other people to be free too? Or does it bind people? I'm thinking about big business corporations and how, you know, how they pay their workers below a living wage. Minimum wage, people can't live off of that. Their freedom isn't causing other people to be free. Are your choices, your freedoms, causing others to be free? That's why Jesus said that the greatest commandments are to love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your mind, and to love your neighbor as yourself. If you do these two things, all the laws and the prophets are fulfilled. These laws cause us to relate to God and to relate with each other in such a perfect way. In Psalms 119, it says, "Oh, how I love your law. It is my meditation all the day long." I know that in my life, that is not true. I don't usually say, "God, I love your law." But that's what David said, and I find that quite interesting. Maybe he got it, that the boundaries set were important for him to relate to God and to relate with people. Oh, how I love your law. It is my meditation all day long. There's a song that challenges me every time I hear it, because at the very ending, and it's intriguing to me how the artist waits until the very end to say this, but she sings, "I'm beginning to see these boundary lines are made for me so I can find all the treasures hidden inside a holy God." That boundaries would make us see treasures. Isn't that interesting? Boundaries would make us see treasures and would make us live even fuller, experience more freedom. It's a great paradox. If I want to remain attached to Jesus, I need to know the boundaries that ensure life. I need to understand that boundaries are a gift. It's a grace for me and for you. It's not a tool of oppression, but it's a tool of thriving. We are really to thrive in this life. We're to obey the laws of God. We are continue to abide, to hold close to stand fast in the laws of God. It was meant so that we could be a blessing for all people. Amen. Let's pray. Oh God, how we love your name.